These three images, we cannot conceive of what the kingdom of God is like. God must use analogies, and they're all wonderful. I always think about my father had a boat. I don't know if it was, he had a sloop and a yawl. I can't remember which one. Some of you may know what the difference is. I sure don't. But he had this boat, and it was moored at Long Beach, California, and he would frequently sail it to Catalina Island in L.A. And I could not go with him. I get seasick just looking at this boat. It was unfortunate. But there's a place between Long Beach and Catalina when you cannot see either one, and you have to rely on your compass. There's a place where you've left what was behind so far that it is no longer visible, yet your goal is also not visible. And this is where we are now. We have to have a guide to get to where we're going. We all launched from a certain place at birth. None of us remembers it. We didn't ask for it. We find ourselves, as it were, as I was taught in the seminary, we wake in the water, so to speak. We find ourselves here on a boat. And the boat is the earth. Our lives are a gift. We have to figure out what we're doing here. Is there a destination? Some people think the boat is all there is, and when we die, we get thrown overboard. That's one view, but it's not correct. You know, the boat is, to me, obviously of a certain design, and there's a purpose to all of this. If we're not careful, we end up storing up boat credits that are only good while we're on the boat and worthless once we get off. What a fool has nothing but credits that they never use. That some people have staterooms with a view, some are in steerage with an inside cabin, but we all have to get off one day. We're not equal on the boat. We don't just spend our lives accumulating furniture on a boat that doesn't come to an end. Jesus points out, he says, well, at the end of time, the dragnet's going to take everything. It goes along the bottom and pulls the whole thing up. That's the way they fished in the Sea of Galilee. They're going to separate the wheat from the chaff. So we who have heard this gospel know what's valuable and what isn't. The interesting thing about, and some people are going to be surprised that there is a destination to this boat, that there is something beyond the boat. And knowing that we are in a condition here, now we have our opportunity to find the pearl of great price, to have the treasure in the field. And the two of these are very different. In one case, the person gratuitously discovers the treasure in the field. They're busy at their life's work. Apparently he's a digger or a gardener or whatever. This man is out in the field, a farmer, and it's not his farm. He's in somebody else's field. He finds a buried treasure. This was a common occurrence, maybe even in our society, but they were hiding money from the Romans, and they would bury it in a field. Sometimes somebody would die and forget the money was there, and somebody else would dig it up. And this is what happens. So the man doesn't steal the treasure. He buries it. The owner doesn't know what he has. He doesn't know how valuable his field is. And the man goes and buys the field and gets the treasure that way. I see this has played out. I've seen families, and we've all seen this, where you know, somebody passes away and the family is so anxious to get at the material goods the person has. What's the first thing they jettison? The faith. That's thrown overboard, and they go for the credits on the boat and the furniture. See, that's precisely what our Lord says. The pearl of great price doesn't look valuable. But in that culture, the treasure in the field was a real thing that happened to people. The pearl of great price was more valuable than gold. Pearls were even traded higher than gold. So the one person recognizes something valuable when they find it. And when they do find it, they're willing to sell everything to get it. For us, the treasure is heaven, and nothing should separate us from God because we know we're on a boat going to heaven, and heaven is our goal. And we want to take some people with us, and we want to have glorified God on the boat by how we lived our lives. That's what matters, and we know this. So we are informed. We don't throw the Bible overboard. We listen to it and the church teaching, and so we know where we're going. And this is really critical. The other person is a seeker. And this is very different. One person encounters it, and they have that one opportunity in their lifetime, and they go for it, you know? And the other person is a seeker all their life. He's a pearl expert, and he's going through the bins at the McNary garage sale or whatever it is, you know, he's going through the garage. He's the type of person that'll be there at 6 a.m. to hit all the garages, looking for that Van Gogh that somebody doesn't recognize. And so he's seeking and seeking and seeking. And suddenly he finds, you know, he finds that 55 Chevy for 90 bucks that my parents sold once. Remember that story? He finds the pearl of great price because he was looking for it. And that's the difference. We are both seekers, and also God gratuitously gives us things that we don't deserve. Sometimes it falls in our lap, and if we don't recognize it, we're going to miss that one opportunity. Think about the person you married, for example. That one moment when the whole world changes. And we get those moments, and they're from God. In the other case, we're looking and looking, and when we find it, do we recognize what is really valuable? Our Lord points out that, you know, we're all in the field of life, and he shows us what's valuable. But it's not what the people, many people don't realize what they have. But if we realize that we're on a boat in the middle of the ocean, somewhere between where we left our point of, is it debarkation? I got to get this down for the next homily. Where we left and where we're going. In the meantime, we have a job to do, and we're seeking for what is valuable while we live on this place. We encounter things that are valuable, and if we find our faith, the truly valuable thing, we're willing to sell everything to hold on to that, because that's what matters, God and his will. Because when we get off the boat, everything we did here will have a bearing on where we're going, where we will be living, what we will be having, and especially the relationship we're going to have with the creator of the boat. We're here to learn something. We're here to discover something. We're not here just to sit in the stateroom and accumulate credits. That's great. There's no problem with that, but it's temporary and it's not going to last. That is not where the treasure is. And that's the key to the gospel, is listening to the creator of the boat and learning what the game is, what it is that we're here for. Jesus wants us to be informed. We don't know what comes after we get off the boat. All Jesus can do is use metaphors. But it's a very critical gospel that I've missed a few and I've found a few in my life, and I think you're the same way. Sometimes we have something fall in our lap and we miss it. But that's an opportunity to learn. So we thank God for all the graces that he gives us and the fact that he gives us the insight for the days of our lives.